Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for every blessing you pour out upon us. You truly are good. Now, as we open your word and read, I pray that your word would be living and active, that through your spirit that you would speak through your word to us, that you would draw our hearts to you, that you would help us know and love you better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, flip over to 1 John chapter 2. We have one verse today, so we're going to go directly to the verse. It's a short verse. It's impactful. It's worthy of us talking about for a minute. And then the verses that follow it will kind of build on what we look at today next week. But today we're going to read, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And it would be very disingenuous of me to preach this verse without telling you a little bit about my history with this verse. This is probably the first verse that I ever memorized. It's as my memory fades, it may be one of the only verses that I still have in my mind. And before you get a good opinion of me and think, "Oh, little Philip memorized this verse, what a..." I troll people with it. So picture me as a small, little 10-year-old or whatever, and no, not as cute as you're picturing, much less. And I would run around, and when people would, in my presence, say, "Oh, I love the weather," or anything like that, I would quickly, flippantly say, "Do not love the world or anything of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And I would tell the verse to that horrible use of the verse. I was Twitter trolled before Twitter. It was mean. I was little, but just be merciful. It was mean. It was not nice. It was self-righteous. It was judgmental. It was horrible. You couldn't say you loved anything in front of me without me going, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You could tell I haven't done that for years, and I'm really good at it. It just rolled off my tongue. And the worst part, I would do it to people who weren't Christians. See, at the time, I didn't have the concept of, my uncles and aunts weren't really Christian-y. They didn't really know the Bible. And I would rattle this verse off to them. And they would look at me like, "What? You are crazy." And I would be all kind of, "Gotcha." I should have more of a filter. I would be less embarrassed, wouldn't I? You would have a higher opinion of me. But that was a long time ago. So what's this verse really saying? If it's not a mechanism by which to troll people who, have the misfortune in front of you of saying, "I love something in life," what's the purpose of the verse? What is it for? What does it say? Do not love the world or anything in the world. That's pretty direct, right? What's he talking about? Don't love the world. Don't love life. Don't love anything that is contained in life. Think about that. Just think about it. Before you go to exceptions and before you go to, "Yes, but it also says," and right before that, didn't he tell us to love people? And before you do any of that, just think about the all-inclusiveness of this verse. This is like the sandals of Bible verses. It's, "Do not love the world or anything in the world." That is a lot. That's everything. Don't love anything. That's what he's saying. Don't love anything. Don't love the entire world, life, everything that it contains, everything from the planet to the people to life itself to experiences to possessions to achievements. Don't love them. The ones you have, don't love them. The ones that you don't have, the ones that you desire, the thing that you keep clicking on, and, "Oh, if I could just save up," but don't love that. Don't love what you've lost. Don't love anything in life. Don't love it. You say, "Okay, so what does it mean to love? What is he really talking about? Do not love the world or anything in the world. What does it mean to love? When you love something, is it just someone saying, "Oh, I love the weather"? Is that what this verse applies to? No, of course not. It's what is loving? It's a profound emotion, right? You know what loving is. I'm going to try to put it into words and describe it, but you just know when you love something, you feel it's the affections of our heart. It's deeply and profoundly valuing something, desiring it, wanting it with all of your being. It's finding pleasure in whatever it is. It's desiring it. It's esteeming whatever the object of your affection is. When you love, you give. You give your time and your devotion and your dreams and your desires. You're consumed by what I'm consumed by what I love. All of our thoughts go there. What do you love? Well, what do you think about? Right? Because what we think about is the object of our affection many times. When we talk, when we speak, what we love, what our life is built on, what's at the center of our heart comes out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's not just applying to gossip and bad words. That's also the stuff we love, what's at the center of our... I never thought about that before. Okay, I'm going to think about that later and make sure it applies, but I'm pretty sure that that's an application of that. What is it? The center of our heart comes out of us. What we talk about, what we think about, we depend on what we love for our happiness, for our joy, for our peace, for our satisfaction. We need whatever we love, we need it to be happy. We hold on to what we love. We're just describing dancing around, not in church dancing, but going around this thing that's love and trying to describe it with all the different parts of what does it mean to love something. We hold on to whatever we love, don't we? Well, you don't want to let it go. If you love something, let it go. And if it's yours, it'll come back. No, you know, you hang on with everything you got. You don't let, you don't want to, you seek after it. It doesn't matter how much we complain about life. None of us are racing to death. We hold on to life and everything in it. We want more and more and more of what we love. We never have enough. What do you love in your life? What are the things and the people, the experiences, the achievements? What are the things that are of this world, so around you, that you love? What do you give your life to? What consumes you? John says we shouldn't do that. We shouldn't love life or anything that this world contains. And so if you stop and you think about it, that's a difficult, if not impossible, instruction, right? When I would troll people with the verse and say, don't say you love, and then they would change, you know, I like the weather a lot, okay? Does that make you happy? And you could change like the love when you say it, but how do you not love life? And think about that. Isn't it impossible to not love things about life? Life is so good. It's always strikes me how kind of ironic it is when the different ways verses hit me in my week, because I think about things throughout the week and then I speak on Sunday, and many times what I'm going to talk about is whatever's happening in my life is God uses it just to slap me upside the head with the verse. So when I started reading this verse, I was... Okay, I took a trip this week with my boys. It was supposed to be father-son bonding time. It was awesome. We put it on the calendar so I would actually do it. And we went and we just threw a tent in the trunk, and very un-me. It was no plans. We're just going to go somewhere. And then tomorrow we're going to go somewhere else, and we'll just camp when we get to the end of the day. And we ended up setting up the tent like at 11 o'clock at night every night, and it was staying up late. And it was so I'm reading this verse on Tuesday, and... my boys are swimming in a lake in Kansas, and I'm at the side of the lake, and there's nobody around, so we didn't have masks on. It was phenomenal. I was sitting on the side of the lake in those little stones. And I was just there, not a care in the world. The sun was shining. I was warm. It was beautiful. And I open up the Bible, and I'm going to read what we're going to talk about on Sunday. Let's just get into it. So, do not love the world. And I looked around. How do you not love this? How do you not love... It was the wind, and it was perfect. It was, how do you not love that? My kids were happy. I loved it. So I'm not supposed to love this. How do I? And then for the next 3 days, funny, after last week, I let myself eat potato chips for the first time in months. And just whatever was there, whatever they opened up, whatever junk food we bought at Walmart that day, I just ate it. I ate hot dogs and potato chips and candy for the first time in literally maybe a year, months. It was awesome. We made bonfires and we talked and we laughed together and we laughed. And we laughed a lot, and we saw the trees and the mountains and the hills, and swam in a lake in the middle of the Ozarks, a big old lake, Bull Shoals. It was incredible. I saw my 92-year-old grandma, who I never see, and I got to give her a hug, and she gave me a hard time for wearing a mask. I was like, it's for you. I loved every moment of it. It was incredible. And then, and say, do not love the world, anything in the world. That's impossible. And then I get home. So I'm just telling you my week, right? You put your week on top of that. I get home, and I got to give my wife a hug after not seeing her for 4 days. And then I took a shower with running water. It went hot and hot running water. And I got a shave and indoor plumbing and everything that goes with that. And I put on clean clothes for the first time in 4 days. I looked exactly the same when I came home as when I left, except for the beard. Just think about that. Then I ate a home-cooked meal, and there was air conditioning. Well, it was off, but it was climate control. There were no bugs. We had a family devotional in the living room. I turned on my guitar, and I played a song. Then I climbed into a bed, and there were no sticks or stones underneath my bed, and it was comfortable, and there was a special pillow that I have that is literally just the right height for my neck so I don't get to this crick goes away. I loved it. Every single part of it, I absolutely loved. How do you not? I know life isn't perfect. If we were talking about complaining, I would have told you the same story, and I would have filled it up with all my complaints of it, okay? So it's situational. But there's stuff we complain about. But just like you, there's so much in life. What do you love in your life? Think about it. What do you absolutely love? What would you be talking about if I took the microphone off and gave it to you? What do you love? How can you not love that? Whatever the thing is for you, how do you not love that? Why would God tell us to do this? Do not love the world or anything in the world. Why would he do that? Why is it so important? It's because it's the second part of the verse. If anyone loves the world, what does it say? The love of the Father is not in him or her. When we love life and the world, we don't love God. That's what the verse is saying. It says it very black and white. It's one or the other. Maybe, in spite of the trolling, I wasn't that off base in what I was saying when I was a kid, right? Because the big idea from the verse, you can't escape it. You can either love life and the world and everything around you, or you can love God, one or the other. You can't love them both. And see, we try to, don't we? So I love life, and I also am going to love God. And he says, you can't do it. You can't love life and God, because when you try to do that, God loses. God never loses. He's the king of the universe, right? Controls everything, but he loses out. He loses that competition in my heart when I try to love my life and him, stuff them both into my heart. Heart's not big enough. God loses out. My life ends up taking over my heart. God loses that competition for my heart. My stuff absorbs the center of my heart. It consumes my love, and I end up putting God on the sideline. I don't give, and it's seen in my thoughts and what I think about and what I talk about and what where I go to for happiness and for comfort. It's seen in my passion. It's seen in who I am as a person. God scoots over to the side, and my stuff takes the center of my heart. And then God doesn't just lose out. We lose out, because then we don't experience a relationship with our Creator that we could experience. That's why it's so important. That's why he would tell us, don't love the world or anything in the world, because when we do, the love of the Father is not in us. So why is that so important? Why is it so important then to love that we love God? Well, it's because, I know, obvious reasons, but let's say them. He made us. He is the greatest, most beautiful, worthy being in the universe, because only he can satisfy us truly and give us peace and happiness and take care of us. Because the most significant thing that we can have in life is a relationship with him, and know him and be known by him and love him and be loved by him and be in his family. That's why Jesus would say, look at Matthew 22. I know we looked at this a couple weeks ago. Go back to it. Look at the first part, the part we skipped over. Matthew 22, 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. God has always commanded and asked and told his children, if I'm your father, you love me. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm supposed to occupy the center of your heart. Go back to Deuteronomy. Just do a pass-through over sometime this week in your devotion. Go do a pass-through over Deuteronomy. Look at how many times God told his people, love me. We focus on the law, but what did God say? Love me. Look at John chapter 15. That would be another good devotional reading this week. Jesus said, love. You have to love me and love other people. Why? So you read that, and there might be a point where you say, okay, John 2:15 seems very, very clear. Love God, not the world. He said, I love the world, love the Father is an enemy. But little lawyer pops his head up and says, wait a second, aren't we supposed to love other people? Didn't Jesus just say that? Didn't two Sundays ago we look at the verses that came right before, and not right before, but almost right before John 2:15, and where he says you have to love other people? Isn't that a direct contradiction? How does it mean that we have to love God? We can't love anything in the world. People are in the world. There's other things in the world. God gave them to us for our enjoyment. How are we not supposed to love that God commands us to love? And then he says, love me and only me. How does that work together? What does that mean? It has to do with what? With the center of our affection. Look at what Jesus said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And if I was a this or that person, which I am, I would say, okay, so then his next command, love other people, can't do that. There's no room left in my heart, my soul, my mind. What Jesus is saying, what John is saying, is God has to be the center of our affection. He has to be the base of our desire. He has to be occupy the center of our heart. He has to be our dominating love. What we love most and greatest of everything else, strip everything else away, I love him. And once that is cemented, when I love everything else, and God isn't the center of my heart, and he's not who I love more than anything, he's not the base of my desire, he's just something else that I try to love, then I don't love him. That's what John is saying. I love myself. I say I love people, but really it's a selfish love. But when we love God with everything that we are, and when he occupies the center of our hearts, then, when he's all that we need, then and only then can we love other people correctly. Only then can we truly enjoy the life he gave us in a way that demonstrates, even as we enjoy the stuff and the people and every experiences that he gave us, in a way that demonstrates that he is superior in our hearts, even than the things we are enjoying, in a way that he receives glory as we enjoy the life that he gave us. See, this is something. I love the world. Anything in the world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That is something that God's children do, that they don't love the world. They love their Father. They love the one who saved them. They value and they seek and they desire God more than anyone else. And if you say, I'm a Christian, but that's not always true of me. I love life. I know, me too. But if you're a Christian, you should be able to see in your life an unexplainable love for God that didn't exist before, a growing love for God. You should read verses like this. It's something in your heart should tug at you and say, yes, I want that. I want to love him more. I want to love my life less. If you're a Christian, you should see in your life that you're holding on to life and all it contains less and less, and that you have less and less love for everything in the world, and your truest, deepest love is for the Father. So, what's our application? What do we do? Pretty obvious, right? We should stop loving the world and we should love God. We should stop loving the world, and that's what the verse says. Do not love the world. That's the command, so that should be our application. And then we should love God more, because how do you replace one love? You replace it with another. Only a love for something more spectacular can capture our hearts, and God is greater and more spectacular than anything else we can love in this world. And he is the only one that truly can overcome our deep affection for this life and everything it contains and capture our hearts. So our application, we should love God more and love the world less. How do you do that if you're not a Christian? Well, what are you supposed to do if you're not a Christian? How do you stop loving the world and start loving God? That is the essence of becoming a Christian. When you give yourself to Christ, when you let go of everything that's in your hand, everything that is keeping you from making your decision, all your future and everything that you're going to have to give up, the control of your life, when you let that go and you give yourself to Jesus and you decide to follow him by repenting, being baptized, accepting him as your Savior and Lord, then you receive the love of God. And then you can love him truly and value him more than anything, and he will fill your heart. And when you come to the point in your soul and your heart where you say, I want that, I want to be able to love God, I want to give everything else up, I want him to be at the center of my heart truly. In this community, tell someone. You can repent. You can be baptized. And for those of us who are Christians, what are we supposed to do with this? How do we love the world less and love God more and more? Well, two-step process, right? So if you're a Christian, listen up. This is our application. How do you love the world less? What do you love? What do you love in life? We have to fight every day to not love it. That's what we have to do. We have to say, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm not going to love it. I'm gonna thank God in the middle of my enjoyment. Thank you for what you've given me, because I love you more than this. And this makes me happy, and it comes from you. You make me happy. I'm going to glorify you in the middle of enjoying this. I'm not going to depend on the stuff in life. When I'm at the point of losing something, I'm going to tell myself, I don't truly need this, even though everything in my body says, you need that, you want that, you have to have that to be happy. I don't need that. I need you. We have to fight. We have to tell ourselves, I'm going to be generous. I'm going to give continually, because nothing loosens our heartstrings and giving that loosens our hold on this life and what it has. It's a continual battle to love less. And the second side, we have to battle, we have to fight, we have to love God more and more. How do we let God capture our heart? I think the biggest way is by spending time with him. Because when I talk with him, when we talk with him, we come to love him more. When we listen to him, when we open the Bible and listen to his voice, we feel close to him. When we lift up our voice and we sing songs of worship and praise to him, we feel more love for the Father. So if you're a Christian, what are you going to do this week? What are you going to incorporate into your life to make you love God more throughout this week? And now, together, let's remember, let's celebrate the one through whom we are able to love the Father. Because think about it, God loves us. And as we take communion today, we remember that, because we see his love for us in the cross and the suffering of his son. We see his love for us. Our hearts will never love him until he overcomes them and changes them. And what does that? It's what Jesus did in the cross. His body and his blood opens a way through which you and I can love our Father and love our Creator, that we can be free from loving all the vanity of this life, and we can truly not only be his children, but love him with all our hearts. That is what happens to us when we become Christians. We receive that. And so now, together, we remember, and as we take the bread and take the cup, we remember what he did. And in our hearts and our minds, we express our thankfulness. We express our love for our Savior. Thank you for what you did, God. Thank you for coming and expressing your love on the cross in a way that is immeasurable, incalculable. And God, as you call us to love you, it is so fitting that we would remember at this moment how much you love us. And I pray, God, as we take communion today, as we remember Jesus' body and blood, that you would overwhelm our hearts with your love and that you would make us love you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.